Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
What's up, everybody? On today's episode, we'll be talking about leadership, culture. We'll break down the University of Virginia versus Florida State game. We'll also dive into a little bit of these players leaving and the rebuild. Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's get it.
All right, let's get it. All right, so I guess, Sam, let's kind of talk about rebuild. You know, Dante Lucas no longer with the team. Imagine he's not the last person who will be leaving. I polled a question on Twitter the other day, basically asking, you know, how many players have to leave, you know, before we start looking at the coaches. Apparently people don't read very well, but whatever. I guess my question is, man, you know, how many players are we looking at really leaving, or how many players do we need to leave before it starts feeling like, okay, this rebuild is in full effect? And is this the best approach, I guess, to even do a rebuild?
This is the new modern college football, right? You know what I'm saying? Well, you got to win in 3 years. Like, your gap of winning, it happens in the first 3 years of you getting there, right? That's the new modern college football, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep.
If you don't get it done in those first 3 years, you probably don't get it done. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this approach of burning it all down and building it back up might have worked in the 90s, might have worked in the early 90s, where you're R.G. Slocum at Texas A&M, or you're, Danny Ford at Clemson, or, you know what I'm saying, where you could just kick off guys and bring a bunch of guys in and get 8 years, 9 years, and you win a bowl game, and people are very, very happy. But in modern college football, like, it don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think James came on here and talked about how Nick Saban did it, what, 2 years? He was in the SEC championship game in 2 years.
Right.
And didn't start kicking players off until his third year. Right. Urban Meyer took that Florida team, which was pretty stacked to begin with, you know, to be honest with you. Didn't kick anybody off that team. Just got there, started coaching. And they won the SEC, I think, the second year they won the SEC championship, won the national championship. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Went to Ohio State, did the same thing. Went 11-0. But that Ohio State team was pretty good. Luke Fickle was coaching there, was helped recruiting, and Jim Tressel had already had it built. You know what I'm saying? Dan Mullen took a 4-8 team. They had done it, been 4-8 twice within like a 4-year span. Flipped those guys, you know, New Year's Six bowl game. Mm-hmm. First year. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to find a way to get guys to buy in to what you're doing, to start winning with those guys. Now, I ain't saying you got to do it your first year, but if you start kicking off sophomores, juniors, you know what I'm saying? If you start getting rid of those type of guys that early in your process, not a good sign. And personally, I don't think you're really kicking guys off. I think guys are saying they don't want to be here anymore. But I know we have to say what we need to say to ourselves to feel better about them leaving. But,
well, see, I guess, and that was the point I was going to – how many players have he legit shown the door? I know the fan base or portion of the fan base is saying, oh, no, good. You know, we're better off now that these players have been kicked off the team. I'm not sure these players are being kicked off the team. Like, I'm not sure Mike Norvell is in a meeting. All right, Dante, it's your turn. Come on in here. You know, it's time for you to go. All right, Durden, it's time for you to go. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not seeing that. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it is. But here's the other thing. How did that work for Charlie Strong when he went out there, you know, just, all right, I don't like you. I don't like whatever it is you got going on. Bye. All right, I don't like, you know what I mean? Like, we saw this. Like, the funny thing is, we've seen this recently with Charlie Strong, and I think you brought it up on Twitter. Maybe it was on the last podcast, but that didn't really go so well for him in the long run.
You have to find a way to win with the guys that you got. Now, you do need to have, okay, if you know you got one or two cancers, yeah, you kick one or two cancers off the team.
Mm-hmm.
Was Isaiah Bolden a cancer? You know what I'm saying? Like, I get DJ Matthews. Yeah, DJ Matthews, you know, him and Kalen LeBourne. Okay, that's your two. I get that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But once you start getting to offensive line where you're not that deep at, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Defensive tackle.
But he wasn't very good. That's the new, I guess, spin or whatever. He
we're saying these guys are not good because they're not being coached well. See that? And that's is it the chicken or the egg?
Mm-hmm.
Because some guys showed to be good players last year under what was perceived to be a worse staff.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can't coach these guys. They're all lost causes. I remember a time when people was happy that Dickerson that went to Alabama, he was a cancer.
No, he wasn't. You know, he was always hurt. He ain't gonna play more than two downs for Alabama.
Let's get Lucas in here anyway. Lucas is gonna be a better player anyway. Now we're ready to cut Lucas off the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, we watched that dude transform himself in a good program to look like the Incredible Hulk, and he's been great. He's been great.
Alabama. Right. So like, it's a complete joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we suck, and it's okay to say that we suck, and this is going to take a while for it to get turned around. But I'm telling you, watching how these pieces are being moved around, this is not being moved around in a way that we're not going to suck in less than 3 years. You know what I'm saying? We're going to suck for the next 3 years.
At least.
And that's my bigger point to people. Like, all this getting upset with everybody on the timeline want to throw this and throw that at people, but at the same time, look at the movement. Like, look how it's moving. Like, you're recruiting wide receiver out of Montana. That's where you're at. You're in legit recruiting battles with guys at Southern Mississippi, Louisville. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, that's where you're at. And you're doing that with coaches that don't have the relationships in a state where you need relationships to find those Terrence Brooks of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To find a Devontae Freeman. You know, we don't have those type of relationships. And that's another point I want to talk about. Like, I was listening to, did you listen to the Jimbo podcast, the Jimbo with Brian McFadden?
I did not. I've seen some clips and I've heard some people talk about it, but go ahead.
Dude, so I always, like, LaMarcus Joyner was like, always, like, in my opinion, LaMarcus Joyner should have a statue outside of FSU. You know what I'm saying? Like, it should be like Charlie Ward, like Derrick Brooks, Deion Sanders, and like LaMarcus Joyner should be somewhere. Like, seriously, like, I'm not saying that to be funny. Like, I'm being very serious about that. Like, think about that, dude. This dude was a five-star, bona fide stud, could have went anywhere in the country, and Jimbo got that dude to say yes to Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, not at the height of Florida State.
No, yeah. Not at the height. Like, nobody was talking about Florida State. You know what I'm saying? You got all these, you got Mark Richt established.
Mm-hmm.
You got Nick Saban cranking it up at Alabama. I mean, Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. I mean, you got some names out there, man. And he got LaMarcus Joyner to say yes. And then not only get him to say yes, the dude came in here and actually transformed everything about Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we don't even have a defensive coordinator to even take advantage of a five-star guy like a LaMarcus Joyner. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then something else that went undervalued, because I was listening to Jimbo talk about this. How many guys did Mark Stoops find that secondary that became good players? Like, they was good, like, good players. Like, mm-hmm. Nick Wason wasn't a great player, but he was a good player. You know what I'm saying? He could hold his own.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Terrence Brooks became an NFL player, three-star guy.
Yep.
And when you talk about doing a rebuild, you got to find little gems like that to do a rebuild. You know, you got to go find Brian Stork a two-star tight end. You got to go find these guys, and you got to find these guys in your footprint. Because if you show guys in your footprint that I can turn that guy that y'all thought wasn't good into being great, now those great players be like, oh, if I go there, I'm going to be even better. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of message it sends. And we out here, man, we out there in Montana, Idaho, we out there. Man, I don't know, man. But, like, listening to Jimbo talk about Mark Stoops and Eddie Graham and them guys, it was just like, damn, bro, we are a long ways away from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what a rebuild sounds like. And the way he was talking about the LSU, how they built the LSU team, and I was just like, that's what it's supposed to sound like. And you hearing that at, like, Florida right now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
picked up another one on Thanksgiving yesterday.
Every big-time O-lineman, even little-time O-lineman in Florida, they're in on. Like, they're going to probably get them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, this isn't going forward. And people keep talking about culture versus leadership. Culture versus leadership. Culture this, leadership that. The Jaguars got rid of a lot of so-called bad apples because they want a better culture. How is that going for them? How is not having Jalen Ramsey out there going for them? Ngakoue, how's that going for them? Like, not having these guys, these so-called bad culture guys, how's that going for them? It's not going good.
Man, you need football players.
And to be honest with you, man, like, I told you, I'm not big on this culture thing. I think we were talking about this with Post and Grimes, and I was like, culture to me isn't what football players or coaches really do. Like, culture is the institution, right? Like, that's going to be there long after everybody's gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, in Alabama, the culture is to win at all costs. We're going to win at Alabama. Nick Saban comes in there. He is the leader. He steers that ship. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is how we're going to win. You know what I'm saying? We're going to win every rep. We're going to win every down. We're going to win every practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know people want to believe that players come in and they lead and they lead and they lead. But what happens is, a great coach get there, right? Like a guy like an Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, right? And he makes the player selfish, right? Man, I want you to be an NFL player. I want you to be the next great. I want you to be great. You're not working hard enough to be great. You're not working hard enough to get paid on Sundays. Like, that's, you get that guy to buy into that, right? Like, okay, I'm supposed to be in the NFL, but coach say I'm not working hard enough. So then you start working hard enough. Mm-hmm. Then you start getting all the other guys to start getting that single focus. Because losing games hurts your draft stock. And that's what you preach to them. That's what you preach to them. I want y'all to be selfish. I want y'all to be selfish. I want you to want to be on the weight bench more than that other guy want to be on the weight bench. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how that works. It doesn't work with, oh, this guy loves the school. Oh, this guy likes to work out. Oh, this guy loves football. Like, you need guys that are self-motivated to be the absolute best athlete and best football player they can be. And once they get like that, it becomes infectious. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You get one guy, then you get three guys, then you get five, then you get seven, then you get 10. Next thing you know, you got 11, you got 25 of them, then 35 of these guys. You know what I'm saying? Those guys that come to Nick, like Nick Saban said this in an interview, he said that I had to change the way I coach my guy. I have to make it about them and not about the team. I have to make it about, hey, man, don't you want to get paid on Sundays? Don't you want to be a Pro Bowler one day? Don't you want to be dancing in the end zone, you know, on Thanksgiving Day one day? Yes, sir. Well, this is where, if you want to get there, this is what you got to do to get there. And I can show you proof of that. Let me call Julio Jones right now. Let me call this guy right now. You know what I'm saying? That's how you get there. And he said, most coaches will say, I don't want to talk to my guys about this type of stuff. But he said, we have to stop making it about the institution. These players are different now. They're selfish. They want to know, how does it benefit them? And that's really, like, if that is culture, if that is leadership, he's finding a way to lead the guys to change the way he coaches to fit the guy that he's coaching now, period. He said, that's changed in the last 10 years. I've had to change the way I talk to players in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But he's still finding a way to win fucking football games. Did he change the way he leads? Did he change his culture? No, the culture is to win. The culture at Florida State is to win. The leadership, you have to find ways. That head coach has to find a way to lead. Willie Taggart failed at leading the team. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now, that's because I believe that's because he never got his coaches to buy in to him to filter his message out. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have a unified message as coaches.
Well, that's because it wasn't the staff that he wanted in the beginning.
It doesn't matter, though. That's
no, you're right. He still
got to
get it
done. That's who you got. You got to find a way to get those coaches to buy in, to unify that message, and to send that message out across to the player. And that's my biggest point. Adam Fuller is a shitty defensive coordinator. Nobody believes in that guy. You think it matters how hard he tells them to work? They look at him like, dude, you got me way the hell over here. The ball going way the hell over there. And I look like an asshole. The people on fucking Twitter keep cutting up clips, making me look like an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is. I mean, this isn't hard to figure out. You know what I'm saying? You got people questioning, can I even play football? But you're telling me to take these steps. You're telling me to do this. You know, right. That's a big deal. The first thing you got to be is competent. Once you show that you're competent, then you can start teaching guys how to lead and stuff. I mean, all this, people blow this leadership shit out the water. Amari Gaines is a good leader. He works his ass off. Everybody on that team would tell you that. But what does his leadership matter if the coach got him in the wrong position?
Right.
It just doesn't matter like that. I mean, it's not leadership. It's not this. The culture is to win, and to win at all costs. But if you got a coaching staff that's not competent enough to get the guys to believe and get the guys brought in, that ship is going nowhere. Mike Norvell is steering a rudderless ship. Point blank, period.
Oh, that's a lot to digest, honestly. I think I look at Florida State and where they are right now, and I say, what is the turnaround? When is the turnaround? And the problem is I don't see it. Like, that's the thing. There are certain things that you're able to.
Let me ask you another question. If you really want to be a top-notch recruiter, right, the first guys you got to recruit, of course, is your coaching staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next guys you go recruit is the players on the team, because the players on the team can recruit better for you than you could anyway.
Right.
So if you're kicking the guys off the team, or the guys feel like, this shit ain't it, I'm finna get out of here, what does it say to the rest of the recruiting world?
Right.
All this stuff matters, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like what Carver was talking to Hurt. You know what I'm saying? He was like, man, you fucked up with that kid. And he was like, what you mean? Why did that matter? He was like, man, all of it matters, man. All of it. Like, everything is connected. All of that, you know what I'm saying? And like, it took Carver a long time to get to that place.
It took Carver a long time. No, I mean, but
That's a Wire reference. Go watch that.
Listen, man. Here's the problem. I guess the problem I'm seeing right now is just I want Mike to be successful. The problem is I have no idea how he's going to do it. Like, if you tell me, all right, I'm going to kick off decent players, average players, and players who wanted to be here. That's the thing. I guess that's the thing that a lot of people keep missing. They weren't no-blooded that I've seen. I still have no idea what that means. I've asked the question several times, and I've gotten an answer. None of these answers seem, like, realistic to me. That means they want to be at Florida State regardless of everything and anything. But if they chose your school, they want to be at Florida State.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's like, I guess I'll go to Florida State.
I mean, you got to think about it. The guys that we're kicking off, the guys that are leaving the team now, guys that came in the 19 class, right? These guys are...
No, Terry was already there.
Yeah, Terry was already there. Yeah, but Terry...
Lucas,
you know,
was, yeah.
Yeah, Lucas, you know... Well, some of the guys...
No, Lucas came in 18.
Right, but I'm saying these guys came after a bad season on the Willie the first season.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. These are all players who were no-blooded. You can't say, oh, okay, well, now that they're leaving, they're not no-blooded no more. No. These guys were bought into a program and bought into the school. That's why they chose you.
Right.
You know what I mean? They have no reason. They had literally, like, Terry could have went anywhere.
Right.
Lucas could have went anywhere. Lucas was highly recruited.
Right.
He chose your school, so now you can't say that, oh, well, now he leaving. He wasn't no-blooded. That's not how this works. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not how this works. So the thing is, I get confused is, all right, we're kicking off these guys. We're kicking off Terry. We're kicking off Darren. We're kicking off that, from what they're saying. All these cancers. We're getting rid of all. These are all addition by subtraction, right? Who are you replacing these guys with?
Right.
And that matters. Because if you tell me, oh, okay, I'd much rather get me a guy who's no-blooded. Okay. So I guess the two-star from Mississippi, he's no, the two-star ATH from Mississippi, he's no-blooded. So when he get here and y'all be like, dude can't catch, he run poor routes and he's slow, it's going to be like, what you expect? Right. You know what I mean? You kicked off the good ones. Like, and you don't have any other ones. You don't have a Florida receiver in your group right now.
Yeah, it's like what Rick Ballew said about the guy Poitier, the wide receiver that we had. And, you know, he was dropping a lot of balls, I think, against Louisville, I think. Mm-hmm. One of them teams. And Rick Ballew was like, what do you expect? He's a three-star. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't highly recruited. He was like, you know, it's not his fault he had Florida State. And it ain't his fault he hit the game at Florida State. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
At some point, you have to kind of, like, understand that there is levels to it. You can develop guys.
Mm-hmm.
But very seldom are you going to develop guys within a season with that low of a rating. Like, it might take them 2 years, 3 years.
At least. Yeah. That's the problem. Like, we got a whole bunch of developmental pieces, and we expecting these guys to come in and perform. And then we get ready to replace these guys with more developmental pieces.
Right. It's not a recipe for success. Right.
That's what I mean. Like, you're not setting up yourself to win. Like, these are things that are going to be problematic long term. So when I say next season, I don't feel good. Like, you know, okay, year two is going to be better. I don't think so.
No, I
don't see next year being better.
And then breaking on 10, 12, 13 grad transfers
also is not a recipe.
That's not good. I mean, it's not good. I mean, because you're breaking guys, I mean, basically from anywhere now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and those guys can have all types of different motives.
Right. Right. So we're going to – that's been a new thing. That's also the part that's been funny to me. We're going to replace these other guys who are not no-blooded with some guys who literally have no ties to university whatsoever. They committed to a whole nother program. They only come to you because they didn't like the current situation.
Right.
Or they were kicked off of another program, kicked out of another program. Very few of these guys are like, man, everything's going great. I was real good, this, that, and the third. I just didn't feel like, you know, I just got tired of the city. I'm homesick, so I want to come back to Florida. It's very few of those guys.
Right.
Most of them could not make the team that they were on. I could not get playing time at the team that they were on, or had some other problems. So we're going to replace the problem kids
with
somebody else's problem kids that also are not no-blooded according to the definitions.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you know what I mean? And this is what I'm saying. Like, we've gotten to a place where we just, I think as a fan base, we just grasping at straws. You know what I mean? I'm saying, like, I feel like we are saying anything we can to make ourselves feel better. And to me, it sounds crazy.
But I mean,
I want people to understand that it sounds crazy, because you can't continue to put yourself. All right, we're gonna do this. All right, we're gonna replace these guys. We gotta filter the roster. These are addition by subtraction. I see a lot of subtraction. I don't see any addition. Like, you're not gonna keep getting rid of good players and players who contributed under previous staffs that can't contribute now. And then tell me that this is addition by subtraction. No, this is just subtraction.
At some point, you got to usher these guys along and find a way to get good football out of them. You know what I'm saying? You got to find a way to get these guys to buy in. And people keep talking about the coaching as far as, you know, do the coaches need? The coaches need Mike Norvell. It's not a question of firing Mike Norvell. Like, he's going to get 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm convinced that they're gonna bring Adam Fuller back. I'm convinced of that.
No.
I would not bring Adam Fuller back. I wouldn't do that. I would promote Marv or somebody. I would just promote within if I don't feel comfortable bringing in a whole new staff. Because from what I heard, the problem is if you fire Fuller, then you're going to have to bring in another D coordinator. If you bring another D coordinator, then he's going to probably have to bring 3 to 4 coaches with him. Mm-hmm. And you got to allow him to do that. But my opinion is that if it's going to be a long-term rebuild, why not just do that then? Why not just say, hey, man, I'm going to bring in whoever. I ain't going to say Will Muschamp, but for, you know, conversation sake, Will Muschamp. And Will Muschamp want to bring in 3 position coaches with him.
Mm-hmm.
I would let him do that because I want to get it fixed now. I want to get the defense fixed. I want somebody that everybody believes in. I want somebody going to sell my message, and I want to move. That I want to move that way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I guess my question is, how bad do they want to win? Or are they happy with where they are right now?
I'm going to tell you. Okay, so this is what I was told. Everybody can take this for how they want to take. They basically got a football team on autopilot, right? And they're not concerned about it. What they're trying to do right now is fix all the behind-the-scenes stuff, which is an issue because you're dealing with COVID, you're losing money, you know what I'm saying, because of this the virus and the shutdown and everything. So they're trying to let offer and, you know, hire good people around the football program to help with the fundraising and to get things in place. And they're not really too much concerned about wins and losses in football right now. And that's what I was told. They're trying to find an AD, they're trying to find the next president, and they're trying to get all these things in place before the end of the year or beginning of next year. But personally, they need to take a longer look at everything and start cutting some programs around there. You know what I'm saying? They need to start cutting some programs. And in my opinion, they need to look at some type of conference realignment too.
They definitely look at conference realignment, but
I mean, that's another thing. I mean, they need to look at conference realignment. It's about to be a shakeup at the ACC and in Greensboro, the big office. You know, it's about to be a shaker. They about to hire a new president of, another overseer, of the commissioner of the ACC. So, I mean, I just don't think all this stuff is so fluid and we're not in a good place to even deal with any of these things. You know what I'm saying? So they're trying to get all that stuff fixed behind the scenes, man, but I just think that it's just a lot, man. I mean, it's just a lot. I mean, Norville's in a fucking terrible situation. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. You know what I'm saying? And I really do believe the first time he get any type of success, I'm talking about 7 wins type success, I don't think he's going to be here, personally. I mean, I just don't see it. Like, I don't see a guy that's trying to make those type of connections, you know?
I guess my thing is the thing that scares me, and not really scares me, but the thing that makes me believe that he may not be here for very long is the fact that there just is no ties in Florida. You have to recruit home. Like, you got to. And the fact that they don't know him in Jacksonville, they don't know him in Tampa, they don't know him in Miami, they don't know him in Apopka, Lake City. You know what I mean? Like, all these different recruiting bases that are right here around you that you got to get players out of, where there's talented players all over the state. You should not have to go to Mississippi to get a 2-star. You should not have to go to North Dakota to get anybody. You shouldn't have to go to Montana to get anybody. We shouldn't have to go to the Ivy League to look for transfers. We absolutely should be able to find enough talent here and win with it. And if not, it does some, at least, hey, give me, let's see what this 3-star can do out of Florida, if nothing else but to create a pipeline.
Right.
Because at this point, you have no pipeline to any of these schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the one pipeline you possibly could have had, you told them to kick rocks.
Right.
You see what I mean? So now we had a Sandalwood pipeline. We've had some players out of Sandalwood. I'd imagine you don't have that same access to the school anymore because of your handling of Jeff Sims.
Right.
So now you've killed, which is a big school, produces athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that pipeline anymore. And then all the coaches talk. What, you know what I mean? All the coaches talk. So then how many other schools was like, well, I mean, if I ain't, they ain't dealing with you, I ain't dealing with you. You know what I mean? Like, I was there when they had the coaches meeting here in Jacksonville. But were there real connections made? I just don't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And also noticeably absent from that, you know, Jacksonville coaches meeting was Odell.
Shocking.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess he was up in the hotel. He was up, you know, at the hotel room still asleep. I don't know. Like, what you, again, man, this is your base. This is where you, if nobody else was in Jacksonville, they needed to be here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. It's, and that's the part that I keep saying. It's, there's a lot of failures going on in a lot of different areas. And I was told, you know, not to call them failures because it was too early. Now, okay, at this point, they are failures.
Right.
Because now, early, I'm assuming they're still doing early signing period, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if early signing period is still going on, that's what, 3 weeks away? That's in December. So we're talking about 3 weeks before early signing period, and we ain't got no prospects. We ain't got nobody who we in the battle for. Nobody's choosing us. Chief went to Florida yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? What are we doing? So how could I expect next year to be better, right? Because again, we've been told this is not the last group. I mean, this is not the last. Lucas wasn't the last person who's leaving.
Right.
So you're gonna have more transfers in the offseason. You're gonna have more transfers, you know, and you're not bringing in other players to replace them with.
Right.
Or not other good players. Let me say that. You're bringing in other players to replace them with. You're not bringing in other top-tier players.
Right.
Next year, you play a full ACC schedule. Florida's back on the schedule.
Dude. Boy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to see how you, where the improvement is going to go. I guess you get, you know, a couple more cupcakes on there, so. Like, you may end up with, like, 3 wins.
I think they start with LSU next year, right?
I mean, that'd be the battle of suck.
Yeah, it would be the battle of suck. Because we do, I mean, suck.
Yeah, they like, suck, you know what I mean? They suck. We, like, you know what I mean? Both, again, so, but I don't know, man. Like I said, I just think I'm looking at it and I'm saying I'm not sure I see improvement on the horizon. And at Florida State, there's no reason to have back-to-back, you know, less than 5-win seasons.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you tell me, like, even Florida had enough, you know, sense to, like, space it out a little bit. I think they was, like, 4 wins. They won, like, 6 wins. Then they got 4 wins again. At least gave them, like, a little bit. Like, oh, okay, they might be back.
Yeah.
We ain't getting that next year. And this is not me talking. Listen to all the podcasts. Nobody's saying they're going to be better next year. Nobody believes they're going to be better next year. So if nobody believes they're going to be better next year, they're more than likely not going to be better next year.
Yeah, so then we're talking. I ain't think about it, but yeah, we might have a chance to beat LSU next year.
Yeah,
we might have a shot. I mean, who would have thought that? Not me.
No, LSU is just as bad and poorly coached as well. But you know, unless they got, but you never know. Here's the other thing: I guarantee LSU recruiting class ain't where I was at.
Oh, nah. They'll definitely be up there. They'll be recruited well. They'll have some players. They'll have some different makers when we play them.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what I mean, right? Like, they'll flip it. They'll flip it quick.
But it is funny how different Norvell compared to Willie is. Because Willie,
some of the really way he's covered?
Well, I'm just saying, like, Willie really believed that the players was going to save him. Mm-hmm. Norvell believes his playbook is going to save him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just very different how philosophy wise how they, you know, how they both think. You know what I'm saying? Like, Willie just believe, man, I just get enough good players and they gonna make plays eventually. You know what I'm saying? And Norvell's like, I'm so schematically sound that my playbook is gonna win these games, you know. And Jimbo was the combination of both. You know, I'm gonna have a solid ass playbook and be schematically and organized, and I'm gonna go get the best players I could possibly get and find diamonds in the rough. It's just kind of funny how you look at it, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, they both have. I thought Willie's approach was, I'm going to get these top guys. I'm at Florida State. I can get these top players, and I'm going to win with them.
Yeah.
He never had the opportunity to get the players that need to get in because he never had enough wins to be able to show that he was, you know, competent.
Right.
And so therefore, it backfired on him. I hope maybe Mike finds a way to maybe change course. He got to get some players in here. I mean, he has to. There is no, like, if he don't get some play, and that's why I kept saying winning was so important to him this year, because again, I was like, all right, if he gets some wins, he'll the players will come because they'll be, you know, better coached. That was my approach from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get the wins, and he's not really a good recruiter. So now we're looking at next season. If he has another bad season, I'm not. Like, what are we, another 30 class?
Yeah. I think because it is Florida State, they'll say they're a top 25 class or top 20 class, but we all know the truth. We all know the truth when we look at those players. We'd be like, just don't feel like it.
Okay. I ain't even going to get that. I was going to say, who in this class are we like, all right, this is the guy out of the class where he's a real life difference maker.
Yeah. So let's talk about the rest of the season, because
there's two games. One is Duke, one is Virginia. Virginia, I'm telling you, they're not winning.
Yeah, they're not gonna win. I don't think they're gonna play
tomorrow.
I just get this feeling that no game, none of these games are gonna get played. I don't know.
I ain't heard nothing about COVID for this one.
I heard they had a bunch of COVID. Or they got two
Virginia,
coaches out.
Virginia, Florida State.
Virginia. No, Florida State got two coaches out and a couple players out.
Yeah, but they do them as even if you show symptoms. Were they positive tests or were they? Because I know they are extra cautious with it. So they'll like leave guys and sit guys, even though, you know what I mean? All right, you coughed a couple times. I ain't like it. So you got to go. So I know Florida State's a bit extra cautious on that one. So that's why with Florida State, it feels a little different for me when I'm trying to figure out whether or not they're going to make it. You know what I mean? Whether or not they're going to play the game. Just because Florida State has shown, hey, we're going to be extra cautious because we don't want the outbreak on the team or whatever. So if they're positive tests on the team, it's different versus, you know, hey, a couple coaches may have had some contact tracing based on somebody they knew or whatever. So just in case, we gonna leave y'all behind. That's just my opinion. I mean, if it don't get played, don't get played. But I just think Florida State.
I know they want to play them. I know they want to play because it's like, I think it's $1.2 million or $1.5 million they get for every home game right now.
They definitely want to play that one there.
So they want to play, but I don't know, man. I think they lack so much depth right now. I heard they got wide receivers practicing as DBs just in case they had to go, you know, five DBs in the six DBs in the secondary.
No, they thin. They thin again, which is why you can't keep kicking off players. You gotta have, you know, it's. I've been saying all season. There's been some funny things happening with the injury report, and with such and such got left behind. Such and such ain't playing today, and we find out, you know, a few minutes before the game. So honestly, who knows? You know what I mean? I really have no idea. And again, we didn't know about Clemson until the morning of Clemson. So it's very well possible they don't play it. But I mean, let's assuming they are playing this game against Virginia, and assuming they're playing the game next week against Duke. I told you I'm not picking them to win another one. That includes Duke. I think Duke will be the most competitive game. I don't think this game will be very close. Like you said, if you got wide receivers practicing as DBs in a defense that's already bad, I'm not sure that I can say, all right, you know, we're going to win. Especially when, you know, we know Virginia's game plan is to put your, you know, DBs and linebackers in conflict when we put ourselves in conflict. I don't see this Virginia game going well for us.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't see it. Duke, I mean, we should never not beat Duke.
But we should never lose to Duke.
Yeah.
We should always beat Duke.
Always.
Bro, they need to cancel that game, bro. I just thought about it. That'd be the worst thing ever, bro. You need to get that shit canceled. Don't even give yourself an opportunity. Yeah, bro. Don't give yourself an opportunity to lose to Duke, bro. Don't do that.
I don't think they're gonna lose to Duke. I feel
do not I'm not saying this to be funny. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. Like, seriously, bro. Like,
that's a tough loss if you lose to Duke.
If you lose to Duke.
That's a tough loss.
Like I said about the Georgia Tech loss, when you lost, I like that ain't a good sign going forward. That'd be real bad. That'd be a bad sign going forward. If you lose to Duke, you won't recover from that. I promise you, you would not recover from that shit, bro. That shit would be in the back of every Florida State decision maker mind. That would be in the back of every decision maker's mind at Florida State, every booster's mind at Florida State. Like that, you would be the coach that lost to Duke.
It's Willie losing, not getting the bowl streak, losing the bowl streak.
Yeah, that's like what it'd be.
It was so hard for Willie to recover from losing that bowl streak, because that was in the back of the mind, like, dog, you let the bowl streak go. Wait a minute, dog, you gonna be the first team to lose to Duke? You gonna be the coach that lost to Duke? I think it's gonna be very difficult. I agree with you on that one. That's a very difficult. That's going to be very difficult for him to recover from. I say that. I think you got to play it. I just think you better win it.
I mean, you better come out with everything you know. You better, and all them trick plays you were saving for rivalry games and shit, you better, man, don't lose that game. Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Like, if you need to go out there and scrap up yourself and go play wide receiver, go do it. Like, don't lose, bro.
I agree with that.
Imagine going on the trail asking for money, asking for boosted donation. People like, bro, you know you lost a Duke, right? Like, you need to get some of your salary up, bro. Like, you better not lose the Duke, bro.
I don't see. I think that one would be close, but I do believe they went. They beat Duke. You know,
If Jordan Travis
is healthy for that game, I think they beat Duke.
Yeah, but if that Duke defensive end play, that dude
they still beat him. With Jordan Travis, they beat him. So okay. I'm assuming Jordan Travis is back this week. Because if so, then they'll at least be competitive against Virginia for a little. Well, I don't know defensively. I don't know if we can score enough, and then it depends on what level of health Jordan Travis is right now. They're not beating Virginia. They're not even beating Virginia. The Duke game, I'm gonna give them the Duke win just because I believe Jordan Travis will play and be healthy. And if not, then.
And you know what I want to say before we get off the pod, man? I want to say shouts out to the fans that's, like, in full belief of Mike Norvell. Like, you guys are, like, some real warriors, man. Like, I don't know if I could have even accepted or I don't think I could have even felt optimistic about Willie if he only would have won two games his first year. I think I'd have been, like, completely off the boat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd have been like, eh. This guy's a fucking shit show. This isn't gonna work. This guy's terrible. Mm-hmm. So for some of the fans that's out there that's like still like, nah, man, Mike's got it going and it's gonna be all right. I mean, look at that 2-6 and being able to say that. Like, you dudes y'all some special type of fans, man. Like, I think y'all deserve an award, man. Like, that's tough. I mean, cause it's like even when I think about the good things Mike Norvell did, and I look at that record, I'd be like, damn, you know, he only won two games this year.
I can't even argue with him no more. Like, I've stopped arguing. I woke up the other morning to 19 mentions where they were arguing amongst themselves under my name of,
bro,
you know,
shouts out to them people, bro, because that's
they believe.
That's faith, bro. That's real faith, bro. Like, that's mustard seed type faith. That's real. Like, I mean, I ain't even trying to be funny right now. Like, I was like, somebody was arguing with me the other day, and I was like, dude, you know
what are you saying? I keep asking them, what are y'all saying? Like, these ain't close wins. These ain't like, okay, like, if they get this one little piece, boy, they gonna really be, or if they fix this, man, they getting blowed out. They getting blowed out.
These ain't close losses.
The bell cow, they class is going to Ole Miss. Like, yeah. Give me the hope. I don't believe like y'all believe. I'm trying to, but again, I'm just not able to do it. I would love to be like y'all. I mean, I imagine y'all are optimists. Yeah, y'all are the ultimate optimists because I swear to God, I'm not seeing what y'all seeing.
I mean, I'm sending my little booster donations, you know what I'm saying, once every quarter, and I'm just like, you know, it ain't much. I just do my little part. But for so many people that's like, I mean, people attack you. Like, when you say something about, like, Willie or say something about, you know, what's going on with this part of the FSU team on Twitter, people get enraged. And I would be, like, thinking, like, well, damn, maybe Mike won 7 games this year. I look at like, nah, you only won 2.
I asked the question, and I couched it with real question, and even put, I'm sincerely asking. Yeah. Like, I'm legit, when will we look at the coach? And I got one real answer. Everybody else just started attacking me as if I was saying this dude was, you know, had mass exodus like Manny Diaz. I was saying, no, when Manny Diaz had mass exodus, we said, yo, what's going on down there in Coral Gables? Right. We asked those questions. So I'm asking, how many will it take? That's right. a dumb point you're making.
But Manny was
recruiting. I wasn't making a point. I'm asking a question. Okay, it was a stupid question.
Manny was recruiting pretty good, though. Like, Manny wasn't recruiting like shit.
Right. Yeah. No, he wasn't. That's the thing about it. Manny wasn't recruiting like shit. I mean, Manny was recruiting really well. The problem is he just literally had players leaving every 30 seconds.
Dude, we call Dan Mullen a bad recruiter.
Mm-hmm. And he kicking Mike ass on the trail.
Compare that to what we got right now to what he had that first year. Compare those two.
Mm-hmm.
Not really that close.
No. No.
Not really that close. We was calling him a bad recruiter.
He still is a bad recruiter compared to what he got. He got a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And they still probably not.
Well, he gets his quarterbacks to commit, and they don't take visits, and those guys are committed to him, though. Like, Emory Jones hasn't transferred, hasn't looked to go anywhere yet. Like, that guy's still balling in.
I still keep trying to figure that out. Like, what has he got on Emory? Because Emory has no reason to be there.
And then you got Richardson there. He's just as bought in and loving what's going on there. I mean, but when you get guys to buy in, I mean – that's what happens, man. But let's wrap on that because I got to go hit some more golf balls. I got to go. I got a tee time.
Man, go hit some golf balls, man.
Bro, you know I don't pick up golf, right? So I don't pick up golf. Yeah. I picked up golf. If you don't know this, I picked up golf. I'm fucking terrible right now. But I realized, and I'm like, man, you know, watching Florida State suck so much and being on a golf course sucking a lot, it's like it's a good balance for me because it's like I'm bad at this, they bad at that. We get to kind of rise together. We get to climb together. You know what I'm saying? So I imagine by the time they get good at football, I'll be good at golf.
Okay, good. All right. Keep climbing then. That's what I'm going to tell you. Just keep climbing, man.
So I'm thinking to myself, like.
But you bought in, though. So
I'm bought into doing this, though. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, not even watching the UVA game. What? No, the UVA game at 8 o'clock, ain't it?
Yeah. It's dark. You get dark at 5 now.
So. Damn.
Yeah.
I was going to try to get my. Because I've been doing my golf. Like, my main golf day on Sunday, I try to do that right when the Jaguars playing. Out of right at about 11 o'clock.
That's the greatest thing about being in Georgia now, man. I don't even get Jaguar games. They don't play them on here. They don't come on TV. I ain't got shit to do with these Jaguars. I ain't watched the game all season. It's been wonderful. It has been wonderful.
Man,
I put on the red zone and just see all the other great teams play. And then when the Jaguar highlighter come on, it's usually the other team scoring against them.
Bro, I'll tell you something that was funny. Like, why are we talking about the Jaguars just to be funny? So I'm listening to 1010 XL. I jump in my car, cut the radio on. Just, you know, I'm like, let me listen to 1010 XL. And the dude, Hacker.
Oh, jeez.
He was like, I just want to apologize to everybody from Jacksonville because I told y'all this team was going to surprise people. And I just bust out laughing. Like, I'm like, people is paying Hacker to be on the radio to lie to them.
Basically. Why was he saying that to people?
Bro, let me tell you what's funny. When they had the other quarterback, the dude Luton, a guy from Oregon State or whatever, people thought he was going to be good, and they was like, oh, he throws a pretty ball and this and that. And I'm like, dude, Luton wasn't good at Oregon State? What the hell are they talking about? So he goes out there, and I like Luton because Luton did what I want basically the whole Jaguars roster to do against Pittsburgh.
Tanking.
He just laid it the fuck down. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about, Luton. Keep throwing these picks. Let's keep getting these pick sixes. Keep fumbling the football. We get in there. Like it's hard to get the Jets though. The Jets is committed.
The Jets committed to number one.
I need the Jazz to commit the way the Jets are committed, bro. Like the Jets even do it on defense. Like I saw them get interceptions and then fumble the interception back to the other team. Like I'd be like, God damn, Jets.
They got a plan. Yeah, they got everybody bought in over there. Yeah, everybody bought in over there. We tanking. We gonna tank with the best of them.
I'm like, I said, well, the only thing I can hope now is that the Jets get into the draft process and fuck up and draft Justin Fields first. That's what I need to happen. They might be just incompetent enough to do that.
I
need Trevor Lawrence to fall to us, bro.
You're right. I can't really put it past them. You're right. But man, Jets gonna win a game. Jets gonna by just happenstance. The Jets gonna win a game, and then they might win two, and then we'll be all right.
See, I'm afraid with these Jaguars, man, because this getting to the bitter end, and this is when they like to pick up steam at the end. So I'm concerned about that. I'm a little concerned about that. Don't pick up steam at the end, Jaguars. Continue to suck. Allen, go sit down, man. We need you next year. Stop handing the ball to Robinson 100 times a game. Like, he's a good player. Don't kill him out there. Like, just go sit him down. You know what I'm saying? Go sit him down for next year, baby. We got a quarterback. We need to get Middleburg Minshew to come back out there again.
Nah, they done with Minshew.
I need Middleburg Minshew back, baby.
No, the mustache.
This other guy, the guy Luton, is actually throwing the ball to DJ Chark. Minshew refused to do it.
They got beef. They definitely got beef. I kept trying to listen, man. I don't know who thought. I know they, you know, but Jacksonville is a funny city because they get hype around like little stuff. Oh, look at this dude. He scrambles around. He's scrappy. He makes plays. Okay. But he's not very good in these five.
When you're using the word scrappy, the player's not good. When you're surprised every time they do something good,
they're not good. Right. Good. Right. You should expect your quarterback to, I don't know, complete passes.
Yeah. Past 10 yards.
But anyway. Listen, man, we appreciate you guys. Pick up
a hobby for the next couple years, man. Pick your hobby up. I got me one. Pick your hobby up, man. You know what I'm saying? Pick a hobby up.
For all y'all Mike guys, man, I can't do nothing but respect it because, you know, y'all are committed to the cause. And y'all definitely keep our mentions very interesting. Thanksgiving, y'all was arguing. I refused to argue anybody on Thanksgiving.
That guy put me in on Thanksgiving. He got me.
Nope. I wasn't arguing with nobody on Thanksgiving.
All right, man. Let's wrap right there, man.
Yep. All right, guys. You just heard the Listen Up podcast. Yeah. Yeah.